ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द पास टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र टेक्स्ट नंबर 54। पत्नी व्रतधरो राजर्षिचरितशुचिः स्वधर्मं गृहमेदीयम् शिक्षयन् स्वयमाचरत्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: लॉर्ड रामचंद्र टुक ए वोव नॉट टू एक्सेप्ट ओनली वन वाइफ and have no connection with any other women. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of varnashram dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. Purport: Eka Patni Vrata, accepting only one wife, was the glorious example set by Lord Ramachandra. One should not accept more than one wife. In those days, of course, people did marry more than one wife. Even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife, Mother Sita. When Mother Sita was kidnapped by Ravan and the Rakshasas, Lord Ramachandra, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas. But to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravan and finally killed him. The Lord punished Ravan and rescued his wife to instruct men to have only one wife. Lord Ramachandra accepted only one wife and manifested sublime character, thus setting an example for householders. A householder should live according to the ideal of Lord Ramachandra, who showed how to be a perfect person. Being a householder or living with a wife and children is never condemned, provided one lives according to the regulative principles of Varnashram Dharma. Those who live in accordance with these principles, whether as householders, brahmacharis or vanaprasthas, are all equally important. Seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees present here, before attempting to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we are actually reading from this 9th canto, chapter 10, describing the pastimes of Lord Ram. We are at the end of this particular chapter. So in this particular verse and in the next verse, it is described about how Lord Ram set an ideal example for the householders, how Lord Ram was faithful to Mother Sita. And in the next verse, describes about how Sita Devi was faithful to Lord Ram. So there are, Srila Prabhupada makes very wonderful points in the purport, but I decided to concentrate on this particular point of being faithful. Here Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Ramachandra even Lord Ramachandra's father accepted more wives than one. But Lord Ramachandra, as an ideal king, accepted only one wife. So he says that Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have married hundreds and thousands of Sitas, but to teach us how faithful he was to his wife, he fought with Ravan and finally killed him. So this is one particular theme which I wanted to concentrate on, about being faithful. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami, when he describes about the pure devotional service, in order to protect the devotee from desires for liberation, he actually quotes a series of verses which tell that how a pure devotee actually rejects liberation. Because this desire for liberation is a very subtle and lethal weapon which actually distracts a devotee from the path of pure devotional service. So there are five kinds of liberation out of the Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya and Sayujya. And out of these five kinds of liberation, one liberation is impersonal liberation, that is desire to merge into the body of the Supreme Lord, desire to merge into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. And the other four kinds of liberation are the personal liberation. So Srila Rupa Goswami quotes many verses which say that how a pure devotee actually completely rejects the desire for impersonal liberation. So this desire for liberation is considered to be is compared to a ghost. But just like when a person is haunted by a ghost, he completely forgets who he is. So he forgets his own self. So similarly, when a person is haunted by this desire for liberation, there is absolutely no chance for rendering devotional service. So desire for liberation, like in the modern sense, we can say the desire for peace. Because why a person wants to get liberated? Because he doesn't want to deal with any of the anxieties and worries of the material world. He wants to avoid the miseries of the material world. So desire for peace is like desire for liberation. So so there are two desires, that is desire for enjoyment and desire for liberation. They are actually contrary to the principles of pure devotional service. But out of these two, the desire for liberation is more dangerous than desire for sense gratification. Because although a person may be enjoying sense gratification, but still he can engage in devotional service if he wants. But then in the case of desire for liberation, when a person merges into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, there is absolutely no chance for rendering devotional service, because he does not have a body. Because in order to perform devotional service, one needs to have a body and the senses, so that he can engage the senses in the service of the Lord. So that is why when a person gets liberation, there is absolutely no chance for performing devotional service. So that is why Srila Rupa Goswami condemns the desire for liberation more severely than the desire for sense gratification. Then, after describing how the desire for, how a pure devotee rejects the all kinds of liberation, then Srila Rupa Goswami says, Atra tyaja, tyaja yatai vai yukta, mukti pancha vidapi ched, salakyati satapyatra, bhaktya nati virudyate. He says that though the five kinds of mukti have been described as worthy of rejection, but salokya, sarshti, samipya and sarupya are not so contradictory to bhakti. So a devotee rejects not only the impersonal liberation, he even rejects the personal liberation if those personal liberations are not suitable for rendering devotional service. So the personal liberations are like salokya, that means like staying in the same planet as the Lord. Samipya, staying close to the Lord. And having the same bodily features and the opulences as the Lord. And having the these are the four personal kinds of liberation. Sometimes a devotee rejects even the personal liberation if he finds that having these positions are not suitable for rendering devotional service. But then Srila Rupa Goswami says that though these five types of mukti have been described as worthy of rejection, but the four personal liberation, they are not so contradictory to bhakti. That means when a person gets this personal liberation, one can engage in devotional service. But in the case, when a person gets impersonal liberation, there's absolutely no chance. But the personal liberations are not so contradictory to bhakti. But they can be contradictory to bhakti if they actually act as an obstacle to render devotional service. Then Srila Rupa Goswami says that there are two varieties of these four types of personal liberation. So what are the two varieties? The first variety is a person wants to get one of these personal liberation with a desire for happiness and power. Because when a person has person stays in the same planet as the Lord, and a person gets the same bodily features as the Lord, like a person gets so much of power, he has the same, almost same beauty as the Supreme Lord. So when the desire for happiness and power predominates the desire for service, so that is the first type of personal liberation. And the second type is that when the desire for service predominates the desire for power and happiness. So that is the second type of desire for this personal kinds of liberation. So then Srila Rupa Goswami says that out of these two types of desire for personal liberation, the first type of personal liberation is rejected by pure devotees because the desire for power and happiness predominates the desire for service. Desire for rendering service to the Supreme Lord. But the pure devotees, they accept the second kind of desire for personal liberation, in which the desire for service predominates the desire for happiness and power. So he says that the devotee is solely attached to the Lord, who relish the sweetness of prema, never accept the five types of liberation at all. So the desire for service, when it predominates the desire for happiness and power, so it is called as prema uttara bhakti or prema seva uttara bhakti. So having glorified the second type of personal liberation, then Srila Rupa Goswami goes one step ahead. He says that among the devotees who are dedicated solely to serving the Lord in prema, the devotees whose hearts have been stolen by Govinda are the best. Because even the kindness of Narayan or other forms of Krishna cannot steal their hearts. In fact, just before this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami says that when the desire for service predominates the desire for happiness and power, the desire for service is more, but still there is some desire for getting the same power as the Supreme Lord. Or there is some desire for getting the same opulence as the Supreme Lord. But even higher than that is, when the desire to get the personal liberation is only consisting of desire for rendering service to the Supreme Lord. So this is the next stage. That is, when a person has only desire for service, even when he wants to get desire for personal liberation. So among those devotees who actually only have desire for service, the devotees who are attached to the form of Lord Govinda or Lord Krishna are the topmost. Because even in the Vaikuntha planets, there are different kinds of devotees, as these verses show, that some devotees will have desire for rendering service to the Supreme Lord, but then they also have desire for happiness and power. But the desire for rendering service to the Lord is predominates the desire for happiness and power. And higher than that is, there are devotees who only have desire for service. But even higher than that, Srila Rupa Goswami says that even higher than those devotees who only have desire for service, the devotees who are attached to the form of Lord Govinda or Lord Krishna are the highest. So here, he says that Tatrap ekantinam shreshta Govinda hritamanasa Yesham shisha prasadopi manohartum na shakniyat. So here, the word Govinda refers to Krishna, and in particular, it refers to Krishna as the Lord of Gokul. Because Krishna, Krishna also has many forms, as the Lord of Dwaraka, as the Lord of Mathura, and there is Lord of Gokul. So here Rupa Goswami makes it clear that the devotees who are attached to Krishna as the Lord of Gokul, they are the actually topmost. So the word Shrisha, that means devotees who are attached to other forms of the Supreme Lord, including the form as the Lord of Dwaraka. So such devotees are inferior to the devotees who are attached to the form of Lord Krishna with the only desire to perform service to the Lord. So this is the gradation of devotee where Srila Goswami says, and then he speaks a very important verse. He says, Siddhantastvat apedepi Shrisha Krishna Swarupayo Rasenot Krishyate Krishna Rupam Yesha Rasasthitihi. He says that though the forms of Vishnu and Krishna are non-different according to the statements of scripture, Krishna's form is shown to be superior because of his rasas. So, although the forms of the Supreme Lord as Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, or Lord Vishnu, they are in one sense same as the form of any other form of the Lord, but still Krishna's form is shown to be superior. Why? Because Krishna's form consists of the highest type of prema. Because Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees is considered to be highest. But in Krishna, in his other forms, when he reciprocates with the devotees, the rasas which are involved is, they are not so high as when Krishna reciprocates with the devotees. So here, that's why when Srila Rupa Goswami gives definition of pure devotional service, Anya Bilashita Shunyam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So he says that devotional service is rendered to Krishna. There are three primary characteristics of pure devotional service. Out of that, the first characteristic, which is the most important primary characteristic, is Krishna Anushilanam. That means devotional service is rendered to Krishna. So, but the word Krishna not only means Krishna, it also means Krishna and his various expansions in the form of the different Vaikuntha forms of the Supreme Lord and the other incarnations of the Supreme Lord. But still, although Krishna means, Krishna includes all other forms of the Lord, but Sri Rupa Goswami could have used any other word. He could have used Vaman Anushilanam. He could have used Ram Anushilanam. But still, he specifically uses the word Krishna Anushilanam because he also wants to make the point that although from the point of view of Siddhanta, rendering devotional service to any other form of the Lord is same as rendering devotional service to Krishna, but from the point of view of Rasa, rendering devotional service to Krishna is actually superior to rendering devotional service to other forms of the Lord. So here we see that this highest type of devotional service is that devotional service rendered to Krishna solely with the motive of rendering service to the Lord. That is considered by Rupa Goswami to be the highest type of devotional service. And we see that especially even among the devotees of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, the gopis of Vrindavan are considered to be the highest devotees. So, but this love exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan to Lord Krishna is actually given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely, especially in this day of Kali Yuga. So one may think that, so all these topics may seem very esoteric, but still Srila Prabhupada says in one purport in the 8th canto that one should try to understand according to one's intelligence, one should try to understand the subject of Krishna consciousness. One should not be lazy in the matter of understanding the subject of Krishna consciousness. Because when a person understands this, what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, then one will actually be grateful and one will take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with great gratitude. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this love of exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan, which is considered to be the highest according to Srila Rupa Goswami. And whom actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, whom is he giving this highest type of love? To the people of Kali Yuga. So in the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they are describing the qualities of the people of Kali, of the people of Kali Yuga. He say, the sages of Naimisharanya, they say that, O Suta Goswami, O long-lived sage, you should tell us at once in easy terms and thoroughly the highest object for mankind that you have discerned in all the scriptures. So please tell the highest object of mankind which you have discerned in all the scriptures. So in reply to this, Suta Goswami says, so you should hear everything from my mouth. So then I will tell you everything. Then you decide what is the best. So please let me allow, please allow me to speak everything. Then you decide according to your intelligence what is best. So in response to that, the sages of Naimisharanya, they say that Prayen alpayusha sabya kalau asmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrata. Say that please you only decide what is best and tell us, because the people of Kali Yuga, they are actually, first of all, they have a short life. So they don't have a long life to discern what is actually best in the scriptures. So you only decide what is best and then tell us. So not only they have a short life, but some, like first disqualification, they have a short life. But then, even if some people have a long life, but they are lazy to understand spiritual subject matters. And then they say that, but even if somebody is having a long life, and if they are not lazy, they want to understand spiritual subject matters, but they are unintelligent. They don't have intelligence to understand what is best in the scriptures, what is best for them. But even if they have a long life, and even if they are not lazy, and even if they are intelligent, but they are devoid of the good fortune of the devotee association, manda bhagya. Because one may be intelligent, but still, if a person does not have the association of the devotees, still one will not be able to understand what is the highest subject matter, what is best for themselves mentioned in the scriptures. But even if he has a long life, if he is not lazy, even if he is intelligent, even if he has a devotee association, but still the people of Kali Yuga, they are afflicted by various problems. Like different health problems, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says. Like some, we may have the association of devotees, but still because of different problems due to our health, still we are not able to take advantage of the association of the devotees. Or one may not have the health problems, but He may hear from the devotees, but still he cannot discern what is highest goal for the human being even after hearing from the devotees. But one may hear from the devotees, and one may also discern what is the highest goal for the human being. But even after that, one does not have the enthusiasm to carry out what is actually told as the highest. So because these people of Kali Yuga have these 8 kinds of defects, so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he says that the sequence of qualities can mean that all people have all the bad qualities. It is not that, okay, some people are short-lived, some people are long-lived, but they don't have the other qualities. Or some people are long-lived and they are not lazy, but they don't have the other qualities. So he says that people of Kali Yuga have all the bad qualities, all these 8 bad qualities. So this is the nature of the people of Kali Yuga. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this highest type of love exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan to the people of Kali Yuga, who actually absolutely have no qualification. So today is the day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took to the renounced order in order to distribute this love of the Vrindavan freely to the people of Kali Yuga. And what is the what is he looking for in order to distribute this love? He only looks for only one qualification. That is, he just expects that if somebody whoever has little faith, he actually distributes this love of the gopis of Vrindavan freely to them. So like one devotee was saying that, I don't remember which car company, there is I think Mercedes-Benz or some foreign car company, which they came out with a latest model. That car was costing something like 1 crore or more. So in order that, in order to sell that car, like even if a person comes with a hard cash of 1 crore rupees, they would not actually sell that car to that person. They would see all the qualification. They would see that, like, what is his bank balance, like how many bungalows he has, like how many properties he has, whether he has the ability to, even after buying the car, whether he has the ability to actually maintain the car properly. So like we see that, like even for selling a car, people see so many qualifications, even if a person has gives 1 crore rupees. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to distribute this highest gift, he only sees the least qualification, that is, he just sees little faith. That's why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Karaha Vichar Vichara Karite Chete Pabe Chamatkar, says that if you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the highest thing just for the least qualification, by seeing little bit of faith. So, like I was reading the 5th canto, where the residents of Kim Purusha Varsha, they were glorifying Lord Ramachandra. So in that particular verse, the residents of Kim Purusha Varsha, they glorify the Supreme Lord, is saying that everyone, all the demigods, all the human beings, everyone should actually worship Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is satisfied by little bit of service. So there, they use a particular word called Sukritagya. So Prabhupada gives a word-to-word translation. Say, he says, Sukritagya means one who can be easily made grateful. So Lord Ram, he can be easily made grateful. He is definitely grateful, but more than that, he can be easily made grateful. That means he is satisfied even with little bit of service. But this quality of Sukritagnya is exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the highest degree, because he is giving the highest gift, that is the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, to the people who have the least qualification, by seeing little bit of faith in the people of Kali Yuga. So coming back to this topic of faith, so I was reading a nice book on Ramayana. So in that, the devotee was explaining about Sundarakand, the Ramayana. So as you know, Ramayana contains 7 parts, starting from Balakand, Ayodhya Kand, and Aranya Kand, etc. So out of the 7 parts, the Sundarakand is considered to be the heart of Ramayana. And it is very interesting that if we see the different parts of Ramayana, like what is the time space of each part of Ramayana? For example, if you see Balakand starts with Lord Ram's birth, and then Lord Ram's marriage with Sita, and then Lord Ram going with Vishwamitra Muni, it ends there. And then Ayodhya Kand starts with the preparation for Lord's Pattabhishek, and then Lord Ram going to forest, then he goes to the ashram of, I think, Atri Muni or something. And then after that comes Aranya Kand, Lord Ram going to Panchavati, and then Sita getting kidnapped by Ravan. So each of the parts of Ramayana, it spans over many years or many months. Like Kishkindha Kand, it spans over something like 10 months. It starts with Lord Ram going to Rishyamukh Parvak until the point that Lord Ram giving orders to the monkey soldiers to go in the 4 directions. So each of the part of Ramayana spans over many months or many years or just some months. Like the last part, the Uttarakhand spans over many years, thousands of years. But if you see Sundarakhand just spans 2 days. Sundarakhand starts when Hanuman leaves from Gandhamadan mountain in search of Sita Devi. And then when Hanuman comes back to Lord Ram to give the message that I have actually seen Sita. So there Sundarakhand ends. So Sundarakhand spans only 2 days. But Sundarakhand is considered to be the heart of Ramayana. So why it is considered like that? So the devotee was explaining, based on Madhvacharya's Tatpari Nirnay, he's saying why Sundarakhand is so special, because Sundarakhand is considered to be the heartbeat of whole Ramayana. Says that even if we see the different parts of Ramayana, why the parts of Ramayana are named like that? Like all the 7 parts of Ramayana, they are named based on the time or the place or the subject of that particular part. For example, Balakand and Uttarakand, they are named based on the time, because Balakand is like the beginning portion of Ramayana, Uttarakhand is the later portion. And the other, like, for example, like Kishkindha Kand, Yuddha Kand, they are Kishkindha Kand is named after the place, because the whole thing happened in the Kishkindha. And the Aranya Kand, it is also named as Aranya Kand because it happened in the forest. But in the case of Sundarakhand, why it is named is, because Sundarakhand is special because Hanumanji performed activities in Sundarakhand. The hero of Sundarakhand is Hanumanji. So because of the activities performed by Hanumanji, because the beauty of Hanumanji, Sundarakhand is named like that. But then one may say that Hanumanji also performed so many activities in Kishkindha Kand. He also performed activities in Yuddhakand, Hanumanji brought the Gandhamadan mount, he brought the mountain two times during the battle. And Kishkindakand also, he performed so many activities. He convinced Sugriva to accept friendship with Lord Ram. So, but still the activities of Hanumanji in Sundarakand are very special. Because in the Kishkindakand, Hanumanji performed activities based on Lord Ram's instructions. And Yuddhakand also, Hanumanji performed activities. He fought with Ravan and he fought so valiantly. But then there are so many, he fought along with other devotees. But in Sundarakand, he was actually all alone. He performed all the activities in Sundarakand only based on the faith on Lord Ram. And he was performing all the activities fully depending on Lord Ram. So that is why the Hanumanji's activities in Sundarakand cannot be compared. It is higher than, cannot be compared with the Hanumanji's activities in other Kand. So here we see that, because Hanumanji, even when you see Hanumanji's picture depicted in different places, you will see Hanumanji with a, usually with a gada. But in Sundarakand, Hanumanji, he did not have gada. Because when Hanumanji left from Gandhamadan mountain to go to Lanka, he went without his gada. And after he came back to Gandhamadan mountain, after coming from Lanka, then he took his gada, then he came to Lord Ram. So when Hanumanji went to Lanka, he went only with two things. That is, with faith in the holy name of Lord Ram and with the ring given by Lord Ram as the other weapon. So only with these two things he performed all the activities in Lanka, and he killed so many demons and he killed so many Rakshasas in Lanka. So because of this activities of Hanumanji, which he exhibited based on his complete dependence and faith on Lord Ram, Sundarakand is very special. So that is why it is said that just like Hanumanji in his Sundarakand, he reduced his form to like a small cat, and he also sometimes expanded his form to a form like which is of the size of 200 yojanas or 300 yojanas. But similarly, Sundarakand, although it is very small, but the glories of Sundarakand are much higher, can be expanded, just like Hanumanji expanded his form to 300 yojanas in Sundarakand. So here we see that because Hanumanji had complete faith in the holy name of Lord Ram, and he performed all the activities based on this complete faith in Lord Ram, so this Sundarakand is considered to be the heart of Lord Ram. So this is the power of faith in the Supreme Lord. So this this power of faith in the Supreme Lord, and especially the power of faith in the process of devotional service, is again glorified by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. In the Nectar of Devotion, after describing the 64 angas of sadhana bhakti, Rupa Goswami glorifies the five most important limbs of sadhana bhakti. See, he says that these five limbs are very special because these limbs can awaken bhava bhakti even in the stage of sadhana. So he mentions five processes. He says nama sankirtan, bhagavat shravan, shrimurtir archaya, shraddhaya sevan, and then as a service to the devotees, and mathura vas, residing in holy place, residing in Mathura. So for each of these five angas of devotional service, he quotes a particular verse in order to prove the power of this each process of devotional service. So when it comes to Shri Murti Shraddhaya Sevan, that is when it comes to deity worship, he quotes this famous verse. He says that if you want to remain attached to your family and friends and your opulence, please do not go to the banks of Yamuna where Lord Govinda is standing in his threefold bending form and playing flute. Because if you see that form, you will lose all attraction to your worldly opulences, etc. So when Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse, this is a very interesting thing, because the the deity worship is described as Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevan. That means worshipping the Supreme Lord with faith. But this particular verse which Rupa Goswami quotes, in that verse there is no mention of faith. He says that if you simply go, if you see the form of the Lord, then you lose attraction to everything. So what actually he means is, he says that Krishna is so powerful that contact with him, even without faith, elevates anyone who merely looks at him. So faith is definitely the most important thing, but the process of devotional service is so powerful that when a person, even if he does not have faith, and when a person comes in contact with it, any of these four, five process of devotional service, they can actually elevate a person to such a high degree that it can immediately awaken the love of God in the heart of a person. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that provided a person is freed from even the slightest trace of any offenses, then these processes can awaken love of God, even if a person who does not have even any faith. So that is the power of these five processes. So even it is true for any of the five processes. We see in the case of Bhagavad Shravan, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says that Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrute Kimva Pare Rishvare Sadhyo Hrid Avarudyateta Kritibe Susru Sibish Sakshanat. So there it says that the Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured, Sadhyo Hrid Avarudyatetra, immediately captured in the heart of the accomplished devotees. Kritibi means those who have performed a lot of devotional service. Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured in the heart of accomplished devotees. But then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Supreme Lord becomes immediately captured in the heart of accomplished devotees by hearing Bhagavatam, and even by those who have suddenly developed a desire to hear it. So not only that those who are accomplished devotees, they can capture the Supreme Lord in their heart if they hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But even those who have developed a sudden desire to hear. So that again shows that even if a person does not have any faith, if a person simply hears Srimad Bhagavatam, this process is so powerful that even without that main qualification, little faith, they can actually awaken the love of God, the Bhava Bhakti in the heart of the living entity. So this is the glory of the pure devotional service, that even without faith, one can actually immediately get the benefit provided one is freed from the slightest trace of offense. So then, we'll see another important point about what is actually the nature of pure faith. Like I was explaining the one of the Brahmachari class. So this qualities of the characteristics of pure faith is explained in one particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yata taror mula nishechinena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashaka pranopaharacha etendriyanam. So this particular verse says that it gives basically two analogies, that just like by watering the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree get nourished, and just by feeding the stomach, all the parts of the body get nourished. Similarly, simply by serving the Supreme Lord, all the demigods will be pleased. So these two analogies they actually describe the two characteristics of pure faith. The first analogy says that simply by watering the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree will get nourished. That is, simply by serving the Supreme Lord, all the demigods will be pleased. So this shows that the first characteristic of pure faith, that is exclusive dedication to Krishna. That if a person simply serves Krishna, then automatically all the demigods will be pleased. And the other analogy is that simply by feeding the stomach, all the parts which are used to feed the stomach, they will get nourished. So there is no need to put separate endeavor to nourish the other parts of the body. That means, like, simply by serving Krishna, automatically we will also be satisfied. So this shows the second characteristic of pure faith, that is complete dependence on the Supreme Lord. So these are the two characteristics of pure faith. In fact, these two characteristics of pure faith was even prayed by Lord Shiva in his prayers. He says that Nama Urje Ishe Traya Pataye Yajna Retase Tripti Dayacha Jivanam Namas Sarva Rasatmane. Lord Shiva is saying that Nama Urje Ishe Traya, you are the provider of the Pitru Lokas. And Pataye Yajna Retase and Tripti Dayacha Jivanam, you are the one who actually gives taste to all the vegetables. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that Lord Shiva is praying to Lord Aniruddha so that he does not have to fulfill the obligations towards the different pitrus, the demigods and the other people in this world. He wants to dedicate exclusively to the Supreme Lord, and so that he does not have to fulfill the obligations towards different other persons. And then he's praying to the Lord Aniruddha that please give me the strength so that I may only be satisfied simply by taking prasad offered to you. So he wants to completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So these two qualities of pure faith, these two characteristics of pure faith, they were also desired by Lord Shiva. And especially when a person hears these two characteristics of pure faith, one may think that these two characteristics seem too exclusive, that it seems like it may lead to fanaticism. Because we may say that, oh, I should be exclusively dedicated to Lord Krishna. It means like, does that mean that I don't have to respect other people? So one may think that this may lead to disrespect towards other people. But immediately after the next verse, the verse which I quoted from the prayer of Lord Shiva, the fourth canto, Lord Shiva prays in the next verse, he says, Sarva Sattvatma Dehaya Viseshaya Staviyase Namas Trailokya Palaya Sahavojo Balaya Cha. He says that you are the universal form. In fact, he says that from your Sarva Sattvatma Dehaya Viseshaya Staviyase. Says that by you are the source of all the senses, the intelligence, and the bodies of all the living entities. Because the universal form comes from you. So Srila Prabhupada is giving in his purport what actually Lord Shiva is praying in this particular prayer. So he is giving the inner mood of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is saying that you are the source of all the bodies and the senses and the intelligence of all the living entities. So Lord Shiva is praying that please engage all the bodies, all the senses and the intelligence of all the living entities in this world in your service. So here we see that Lord Shiva is exhibiting the mood of compassion and concern for all living entities. So in the previous verse, Lord Shiva is praying for that pure faith, that exclusive dedication and complete dependence. But this exclusive dedication and complete dependence, it actually, it leads to concern for other living entities, not actually disrespect towards others. Because Lord Shiva is exhibiting this particular verse, his concern for all the living entities. So when we see that, like so many people in different religions, they commit violence or disrespect towards other living entities, it appears that they are exclusively dedicated to the Supreme Lord. But when that so-called dedication to Supreme Lord, when it leads to violence or disrespect towards others, that shows that they actually do not have pure faith. Because when a person has pure faith, it does not lead to disrespect, but it leads to concern for other living entities. So then, I will conclude with this point. So one may think that this particular point of faith, like sometimes a person may get a doubt that whether Srila Prabhupada has given everything, some people leave ISKCON thinking that maybe some other people have given something more than what Srila Prabhupada has given. So, although it may appear that Srila Prabhupada has given the basics, but actually Srila Prabhupada has given everything. So this is also confirmed in another prayer of Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is saying, Artha Lingaya Nabase Namontar Bahiratmane Nama Punyaya Lokaya Amushmai Buri Varchase. He says that, my dear Lord, by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. You are the all-pervading sky within and without, and you are the ultimate goal of pious activities executed both within this material world and beyond it. So here Lord Shiva is glorifying the holy name of the Lord. He's saying that by expanding your transcendental vibrations, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. So the Vedic scriptures are called as Shabda Brahma. But the essence of Shabda Brahma is actually the holy name of the Lord, or the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Lord Shiva is saying here that by expanding your transcendental vibrations, that is simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, you reveal everything, you reveal the actual meaning of everything. So Srila Prabhupada says that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the whole material world and the spiritual world is actually revealed to your devotee. So in the South India Yatra, like when Sulana Sradhana Swami Maharaj was giving this lecture on Brahma Samhita, was saying that Brahma Samhita contains hundreds of chapters, but this fifth chapter of Brahma Samhita, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found, that contains the essence of Brahma Samhita. This contains the topmost conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. And then he concluded the talk by saying that the same essence of the Brahma Samhita can be realized simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Srila Prabhupada has given the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which has the power to reveal the whole material world and the spiritual world. So when a person, we think that maybe Srila Prabhupada has not given something high, when a person leaves to take shelter of something else, it actually shows lack of faith in Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which actually has the power to reveal everything. So in this way, I'll conclude this, I'll just summarize. So today we talked about this qualities of this topic of faith, because this purport Srila Prabhupada talks about how Lord Rama is faithful to Sita. So we first talked about from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that how the devotees of Lord Krishna, especially the gopis of Vrindavan, are the highest. The love exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan was given to the lowest people, the people of Kali Yuga, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply on the basis of faith. Then we talked about how the power of devotional, the process of devotional service is so great that even if a person approaches the process of devotional service without faith, they have the power to awaken bhava bhakti even the stage of sadhana. And then we talked about the characteristics of pure faith, and then how even Lord Shiva is actually praying for this pure faith. And when a person has this pure faith, it actually does not lead to fanaticism, but it actually leads to concern for others. Then we talked about how when a person simply has faith in the chanting of the holy names, that has the power to reveal everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantanam Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.